From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, this is Alan Cairns saying hello to you and welcome to another Let the Bible Speak broadcast. In today's program, we return to our series of studies in Psalm 138, coming to verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The subject is one that every Christian surely needs to hear, the subject of personal revival. So stay tuned as we get ready to attend to the Word of God. Yesterday, I was encouraging you to get in touch with us to receive a free subscription to our quarterly magazine. The Let the Bible Speak Quarterly is a 24-page full-color magazine that tries to live up to its name, and Let the Bible Speak. It presents vital Bible truth in a well-designed and yet straightforward way. It's yours free of charge if you'd like to receive it, and we'd be glad to put you on the mailing list to receive each new issue as it arrives. You can make sure of receiving your Let the Bible Speak Quarterly by writing to us or calling us toll-free. The mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. If you haven't yet visited our website, then I think you should do so. There you can hear again the programs that we have aired. Each day we deal with a hot topic, and those commentaries are available either as audio or text files. So you can listen or read or print as you need. You'll also enjoy browsing our web bookstore. It's all at ltbsradio.com. Remember it, ltbsradio.com, and I hope that you'll drop in today. And now for some music. One of my favorite hymns is I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And to sing it, here is Boaz Boone. Thank you. Last week I reported on the decision by Kansas University to offer in its religious studies program a course that would deal with creationism and intelligent design as mythology. The professor in charge of the proposed program, Paul Mileke, openly scorned those who believed that there is scientific evidence for either creationism or for the theory of intelligent design. He mocked those whom he called the fundies, fundamentalist Bible believers, and gloated that KU's decision was, quote, a slap in their big fat face. I don't know anything about Professor Mileke's face, whether it's big or small, fat or cadaverous. What I do know is that his is the face that has been well and truly slapped. He has faced a firestorm of criticism for his unprofessional comments, something he at first seemed to relish. However, that soon changed. First, Mileke announced the university's cancellation of the course he proposed to teach, and was placed in the humiliating position of having to offer a lame excuse for his behavior. Here's what he said. My concern is that students with a serious interest in this important subject matter would not be well served by the learning environment my emails and the public distribution of them have created. It would not be fair to the students. It was not my intent when I wrote the emails, but I understand now that these words have offended many on this campus and beyond, and for that I take full responsibility. I made a mistake in not leading by example in the student organization email forum, the importance of discussing differing viewpoints in a civil and respectful manner. This is an incredible statement, that a tenured professor asks us to believe that he never intended his gleeful anticipation of his new class to be a nice slap in the fundamentalist's big fat face is unbelievable. The man knew what he was doing and saying. He thought he could get away with it and found out that he couldn't. Second, such was the level of protest that Mileke has resigned his position as the chair of the Department of Religious Studies at Kansas University. It was a forced withdrawal, as is evident from the statement of Barbara Romzek, the interim dean of KU's College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. She stated, Professor Mileke said he thought it appropriate to step down, and did so on the recommendation of his colleagues in the department, and I have accepted his resignation. A third development has complicated matters. Mileke reported that he was assaulted by two men who made reference to the recent controversy. Let me say at once that if anyone did assault Professor Mileke, they acted in a criminal, certainly not a Christian fashion. There is no excuse for people acting like thugs to support the cause of truth. However, there is currently quite a large amount of skepticism about the attack. Local news organizations consistently refer to it as, quote, the alleged attack. And note that there are several obvious discrepancies in Mileke's various statements and the sheriff department's incident record. Mileke has said that he can explain the discrepancies, but he just doesn't want to. We should learn from this incident. First, we should learn that common people have the power to hold apparently untouchable academics to account. Tenured professors often believe that they can hold their positions whatever we may think about them. But this incident shows how a state university can be made to feel the weight of the combined opinions of ordinary people all over the country. Second, we must learn that the cause of Christ and truth is never served by any resort to thuggish behavior. The third lesson for us to learn is that as Christians, we should love our enemies. God conceive a Paul Mileke, so pray for Paul Mileke and others like him, a man who has claims to eminent scholarship, but has evidently no real knowledge of Christ.
The perfect righteousness of God is witnessed in the Savior's blood. 'Tis in the cross of Christ we trace His righteousness, yet wondrous grace. God could not pass the sinner by. His sin demands that he must die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save us righteously. The sin is on the Savior laid. 'Tis in His blood sin's debt is paid. Stern justice can demand no more, and mercy can dispense her store. The sinner who believes is free, can say the Savior died for me, can point to the atoning blood and say, this made my peace with God.
Now this morning we continue with the series of textual studies in Psalm 138. We have been through the psalm for the first six verses, and now we come to verse 7. Verse 7 of Psalm 138. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Apostle Paul assures us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to every believer. And we know that is true. But there are certain Scriptures that somehow stand out from the rest and maintain a universal appeal and at the same time a very individual appeal for every believer in Christ. And our text this morning is one of those special verses, and the reason is not difficult to find. I think it's because this text addresses the sufferings and the hopes that all of God's people share in. This text speaks of having to face both adversaries and adversities, of enduring the malice of men and just the heavy burdens of getting through life from day to day. Now, this is the common ground that all Christians occupy. And the certainty, therefore, that David expresses as he faces these things touches a chord in every one of us. This is our Reformation month, and I have no doubt that this month, some time on Sunday evenings, maybe two or three times, we will sing Martin Luther's great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a bulwark never failing. In writing that hymn, Luther caught, I think, the psalmist's meaning in this text when he said, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us." That's the very teaching that David is expressing in the text before us this morning. What he's saying, quite simply, and it seems a very sweeping statement. At first, it's so easily said, and yet it's so vast in its ramifications that it almost blows our brain. But what he's saying is that the Lord will not allow either adversities or adversaries to destroy his people, but will intervene with his power to deliver them. Now, that's the truth that I want us to consider in some detail this morning as we look at what I think is the subject of this great text. And it's a subject immediately interesting, I think, to every Christian. It's the subject of personal revival, or if you want it more fully, personal revival in the midst of the troubles of this world. And as we look at that subject, we see that David highlights three things, and I want us to focus upon them this morning. First, he names a serious predicament. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Walking in the midst of trouble. The word that's translated trouble means just that. It means trouble, distress, affliction, adversity. And this is our common lot in life. I think that when he wrote this, David felt very much like Paul felt when he was writing to the Corinthians about when he was in Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 5, he said, "When we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears." And how often that summed up the apostle's experience. How often it summed up the psalmist's experience. How often it sums up our experience. Outside, there's fighting. Inside, there's fear. And there is no rest to be felt within our flesh. When David penned the words of this text, he felt himself surrounded, hemmed in on every side by trouble. No matter where he looked, no matter what direction he took, no matter what action he took, no matter how he tried to ameliorate his situation, he was faced with trouble on every hand. And that again touches us, because I think even in a little congregation like this, if you went from seat to seat and heard one testimony after another, you would hear from God's people, "This is where I am. This is what I am facing." We feel very often isolated in that. And that's part of the devil's plan to make us feel isolated. You're the only one going through this. God must have forsaken you, or he must have something peculiar against you, because Christians generally really shouldn't experience these things. But if I were to have every Christian rise and give testimony, one after another, with few, if any, exceptions, would say, yes, this is our common lot. We know what it is to be hemmed in on every side by trouble. We're facing the troubles that are common to all men. As we read in the book of Job, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. If you can go to a blacksmith shop and see him at work without sparks, if you can see him hammering the anvil and do his work and the sparks are not flying, then and only then will you find a man born of Adam's race living through this fallen world without trouble. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward, and Christians are still in the flesh. Christians are still men. Therefore, we share in the common experience of man. And then there are some of the peculiar troubles that belong to us for no other reason other than that we are Christians. The peculiar hatred of Satan for the people of God. So like David, we feel ourselves often surrounded. We have outward troubles. We have inward troubles. Many of you this morning are suffering from troubles of body. And then troubles of soul. We have trouble from sin. We have trouble from Satan. We have trouble from the world. This is the way in which we are called by God to walk through this world. Furthermore, we find from the words of Barnabas that this is the way we must enter into the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas confirmed the souls of the disciples, and in confirming them, they exhorted them to continue in the faith. And what was their argument? Acts 14:22, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. The pathway to heaven through this world is walking in the midst of trouble. That's the predicament that the psalmist here mentions. I'm not going to labor the point. I don't think I need to do what would be very easily done, and that's just to start at Genesis and go right through the Bible and give you example after example that this is the way things are. But that would be like trying to make a philosophy class out of proving that you've got to breathe to live. It's as simple and straightforward as that. That's the predicament. We're walking in the midst of trouble. That trouble brings an ominous peril. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Now, you will find there lurking a danger. The danger in this predicament is that we become swallowed up by trouble. It's one thing to be surrounded by it. It is totally a different thing to be swallowed up by it. The danger is that we become so consumed by the troubles that we're facing that we end up doing what Satan intended Job to do as the result of his trouble, and that was to curse God to his face, to fly in the face of God. We end up doing what Job's wife commanded him to do, curse God and die. And the word curse there has the idea of just give up on God and say goodbye to God, even though it kills you. The danger is that we become so swallowed up by our trouble that we simply lose out with the Lord. That we give up on life. That we give up on service. The danger is that we go down and then we stay down. Lose all hope and all sense of purpose in life. The 77th Psalm asks some questions that in faith a Christian rises up to say no in answer to them, but when you're swallowed up by trouble, you feel like saying yes to them. Will the Lord cast off forever? The danger when you're surrounded and swallowed by trouble is that you feel he's cast me off. Will he be favorable no more? You feel he'll never again let me see the light of his favor. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail? That's a hard one. I've often pointed this out. When your faith is saying one thing and you're so consumed by trouble that your heart is saying the opposite thing, Oh, we say, His promise never fails. There hath not failed one word of His good promise. And yet there are times when the flesh rises up in rebellion against that faith because of trouble to say, His promise has failed forever. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? When you're swallowed up by trouble, the danger is you succumb to that kind of unbelief. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.